We're going to just have a very short time, really, in the Word this morning where we have been going through in Philippians. So if you want to open up to Philippians chapter 4, we're just going to look at two verses this morning. Remember, the theme of Philippians is Christ in all. And then also, how we think is key to our experience of joy. Chapter 1, Christ our life. We respond with a singleness of mind. Chapter 2, we saw Christ our example, and we respond with the same mind as Christ, a submitted mind. Chapter 3, Christ our object, and we respond with a focused mind, focused on Him. And then chapter 4 here, Christ our strength, and we respond with the consistent mind, which leads to a confident mind. Joy being that deep and abiding confidence that all is well, regardless of circumstance or experience. And then last week, we looked at how important it is to make that personal application of the principles of the Lord into our lives. It's not just knowing stuff about God. It's knowing Him personally. So we are in Christ. That's a plural term, and that there is to be unity within the body. And in that context, He said to be anxious for nothing. Paul did in Philippians here, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so we saw that last week, that our minds and hearts in Christ, we aren't to run away with our thoughts or to be held captive by our own hearts, but that He gives us this impenetrable fortress of peace when we come to Him. He guards our very lives, so that Colossians says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. How do you have that kind of protection? Well, you pray. In all things through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. When we don't pray, because that is like a guard for us. The peace of God is like a guard. It's a military term, right? We talked about this last week, that places a guard over the source of our thoughts and our feelings so that we aren't carried away with them. But when we aren't praying, when we aren't seeking the Lord and walking in our relationship with Him, it's like a soldier who wanders from the troops and finds himself in a dangerous situation, a lack of protection, wandering. It can lead to a mistaken identity. And so when we pray in Christ, we are guarded by the Lord and His peace. Something, I don't know if I shared it last week, but I want to make sure I share this. It's a statement that I've been saying for many years now, and it's this. Prayer doesn't change things. God changes things. But prayer changes me, and then I act being led by the Holy Spirit through prayer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So prayer is that, and again, last week we mentioned this, is our contact comfort with the Lord. Not just a list that we say, okay, Lord, I've got some sick relatives, I've got some needs, and I'm going to lay this down before you now. That's wonderful, but the idea is to meet with Him. To sense His presence, His love, and His care in our lives. Have that comfort, that contact with the Lord. So adding to that now, just verses 8 and 9 of chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. This is what we're going to look at real for just a few minutes here this morning. He says, finally, brethren, I want you to think rightly. Remember, this is the application now, that the way we think directly relates how we experience the Lord, how we experience His peace and His joy. He gives it freely to us, but we are called here to meditate on these things. In other words, to make a habit of thinking on these things. That's what meditation is. It's a habit of thought. Romans chapter 2, verse 12, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That way of transformation is the renewing of our minds. That's the meditation that we may prove. That's the evidence that the transformation in our lives is taking place. When we act out in faith, that's the evidence. That's what people are going to see concerning what you can't see, the promises of God. All of this is the spiritual work that God does in our lives, and we get to express it. So he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are, and I'm going to categorize a few of these, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, and whatever things are just. That means whatever things are without falsehood and without a need of explanation to be seen as honorable, and the things that are righteous, the things concern how we treat each other. That's what righteousness is, right? That we would live rightly in this life. Whatever things are like that, then think on those things. We shouldn't have to give a long explanation to others in order for them to see that our intentions were good. You know how sometimes that happens? Where you do something, you're like, let me explain why. I was only joking and I didn't mean to offend you. And really, I'm a kind person. I would never really say things like that. I have to do this a lot because I'm a joker. But the idea is this. We should live our lives for the Lord in such a way so that we don't need to explain. It just is clear that we are giving glory to God in our lives. And then he goes on to say the things that are pure and whatever things are lovely and whatever things are of good report. Again, that's pure or holy. Lovely would mean toward loving someone. And then of good report, again, it's that obvious good. You know, it's interesting when I think about that, the things that are obviously good, to be respectful, to be compassionate. You know, you see someone in need and you go out of your way to help them. Everyone on this planet, whatever they believe about God, or whether even if they don't believe in God, they recognize that as one of the greatest virtues. Is that interesting? To show compassion towards someone less fortunate than you, to show love to your enemies, all those things the Lord taught us, the world agrees, yes, that's the highest virtue that we can achieve. And it's why? Because that's who God is, and we've been created in his image. And so as we simply live for the Lord, those things are expressed by faith, and people see that, and it's the evidence of God in our lives. Any virtue, he says, think on this. Anything that is of moral goodness, think on this. When the pandemic started, I felt like, I can do this. You know, tell me to stay home for 2 weeks, I got it. And it became a little different, didn't it? And it was rather destructive. And immediately the thing I thought is, you know what? There's going to be a huge emphasis on the negativity of this life by so many, and we need to hashtag find the good. I remember I posted that online, hashtag find the good in anything and in everything that you can, find the good. That's what Paul is saying here. Reminds me of Corrie ten Boom in her book, The Hiding Place, right? She was in a concentration camp during the Holocaust with her sister Betsy. I believe her name was Betsy. And the guards were wicked, vicious, wicked men in the way they treated all the prisoners. And in their room, though, where Betsy and Corey were, there was lice. And Corey turns to Betsy and says, I can handle a lot of things, but God, why the lice? Lice on top of everything. And Betsy said, thank God for the lice, Corey. Because you see, it kept those wicked men away from them. And there's Corey with Betsy finding the good in the middle of something horrifically evil. Church, I want to remind you, this is what Paul says. Finally, do this. Think on the good, the virtuous. Consider the mercy of God that he's given us another day in him to live for him. Anything praiseworthy. You know, and the things that we do, we're not to try to gain praise from others, right? We're not to boast and express our great works that we've done so that others will go, oh, Pastor Chris, you're so wonderful. We're not to do that ever. But we are to recognize those things that are praiseworthy and praise them and model them in our lives. So when I see, church, you doing something in the Lord, I praise God for that. I praise God for the things that he's giving you, the calling and the strength to walk in. It's not simply, you know, oh, you're awesome. I say that too, because you are. But it's the great work of God that he includes us in the work, and we are to praise those things and acknowledge them and model them. You see, there's a foundational principle here, tucked in here, that I don't want us to miss this morning. He says, think on these things, meditate on these things. Here's the foundational principle. Be spiritually minded. It's not just a natural lesson. You know, be positive. That's powerful, by the way, on a natural level, to just encourage people to be positive, to be a positive person. Find the good, absolutely. But what the Lord calls us to is something much greater, which is to be spiritually minded. You see, if it's just a natural message, have a good attitude, be cheerful, then it's a seedless fruit. You know, and I share this a lot, so if you've heard it recently, I apologize, but only man makes seedless fruit. Did you know that? And we spend lots of money and hire scientists to figure out how to remove the seeds from our watermelon, you know. We don't want those seeds in there. Are they seedless cucumbers? You know. But that's what man does. He takes something that God's made with a seed and removes the seed, and it sells better, seedless fruit. But God makes every piece of fruit on this planet with a seed, meaning when you eat it, it contains life to bring more fruit. And this is what God does. Everything that God does expresses his grace, his love, his salvation. The gospel is included in the fruit of God. And church, when we express the fruit of God, we are expressing the Lord Jesus in the gospel. It's dangerous, by the way, when we settle for only a natural view of church or of life as a Christian, trading worship for ritual. Oh, I don't like the singing time. Why do we have to sing so many songs? If you've ever thought that way, let me just remind you, it was never about just singing. Why does he have to talk so long and share all of those? It was never about enduring the sermon. Seriously. What is it about? Worship and meeting God in his word. Hearing from God right now, right here. That's what it's about. Kim and Terry, when they put together The Light of the World, that was their intention, was to make a media presentation that people could experience the Lord in and hear the message in. It's beautiful. It's a fruit that contains the seed of the gospel. I love it. I love it. When we view church on a natural level, it's about the sound and the comfort and a social circle and community and feeling good. It's no longer about striving to meet with him, to hear from him. It's no longer a spiritual experience. This is very dangerous for a believer. That's what's dangerous about kids growing up in church and only understanding it on a natural level. It can almost be harder for them to overcome that sometimes because it's supposed to be about meeting with the Lord. Matter of fact, when we only leave the things of the Lord on a natural level, it causes us to wander from a relationship with him and settle for just the ritual of meeting together, singing, Bible study, all those things. And James says, careful, because this is where wars and fights come from among you. Because you're living as spiritual, but you're living on a natural level. And Paul says, that's what we call the carnal life, the one that can live spiritually, but chooses to settle for a natural life. Church, listen, our flesh is not neutral. We have an enemy, and we are to guard our hearts and minds. The peace of God guards our hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. And then, you know, when we find ourselves in that place, maybe you found yourself in a place like I did years ago where church was starting to become nothing but that, and it was an apathy growing in my heart and my mind. And then I remember, Lord, it's about meeting with you. Lord, it's about worshiping you. And you know what? Causes me to seek him. I become desperate for him. And in that desperation, guess what happens? The peace of God fills my heart. And I find myself once again experiencing the God of peace. The God of peace. He's already said this, by the way, in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. If there is any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love. And he says here, if there is anything virtuous, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Make it a habit. Train your mind and heart to stay there and consider the things of the Lord. There's a verse that I've quoted a few times lately. It's Isaiah 26, verse 3. We'll have it on the screen. It says this, you'll keep him in perfect peace. Speaking of the Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The emphasis of this verse is on him who keeps him in perfect peace. It's the one who keeps us in his peace. That's the emphasis. The act of faith is to consistently set your mind on the one who keeps him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. In verse 9 of our text, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. He says, the things you learned and received. In other words, you were taught the truth, like that seed planted on good soil, taking it in with understanding, receiving the truth of God as an act of faith that produces spiritual fruit in our lives. And you've heard and saw. Did you catch this, by the way? You were taught it and you received it. You heard it and then you saw it in my life, says Paul. He lived it in front of them, backing up his message with a life of faith. So we have peace with God, which allows us to therefore have the peace of God in our lives. And then that lifestyle of thinking and living rightly in the Lord contains a growing awareness of his presence, the presence of God in our lives. May the God of peace be with you. I want you to see two verses. 1 Thessalonians, right towards the end, chapter 5, verse 23, says, now, listen. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. These are the benedictions to the Thessalonians. This is a theme that the God of peace would be with you, keeping you. Jesus said he holds us in the palm of his hand and nothing can snatch us out of his hand. Well, God bless you this morning. May the Lord be with you and lead you and direct you through the rest of this week.